This morning, I'd like to talk for just a little bit about how God speaks today. You know, some people wonder, you know, if there is a God. Some people question if God is even, you know, real and out there, if he's working in the world today. They wonder why he hasn't made himself, you know, more clearly known, why he doesn't show himself to us. And why has he just, you know, spoken to us and delivered his word to us through, you know, some old, you know, worn out letter, you know, this book that we have today. Why has he, you know, just left us hanging, so to speak? You know, he has spoken to us, you know, if we will listen, in many ways. In addition to this book that we have, and he has spoken quite loudly if we will just listen. Now, God speaks to us today through his creation. He reveals his glory through his handiwork. If you'll turn with me to Psalms, the 19th chapter. Psalms, the 19th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Psalms 19, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day to day utters speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. It's in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun." You know, God has spoken, and it cannot be ignored. Every man, if they will be honest with themselves, can see God's handiwork in the world around us. Through it, he reveals his eternal power and divine nature. Turn with me to Romans, the first chapter. Romans chapter 1, verse 19, beginning. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, says, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You know, people today, if they truly seek out God, can find him. But they just, so many times, will not look and will not listen. You know, do we take the time to consider the wonders of creation? You know, do we, you know, like the psalmist, you know, notice the beautiful, the wonderful things that God has created? Turn with me to Psalms, the 8th chapter, beginning of verse 3. Psalms 8 and verse 3 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" You know, the psalmist is in awe here when he contemplates what God has done, and yet God still cares for us enough to deliver his message to us, to want us to be his children. Turn with me to Psalms, the 104th chapter. Psalms 104, beginning in verse 24. It says, "O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. And the earth is full of your possessions. This great wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both great, small and great." You know, the Lord has made, you know, so many wonderful things. Things that, you know, some today claim that just happened. That, you know, there was an explosion or some other phenomenon happened and it all just popped into existence. And if you look at these creations, these wonderful works of God, as the psalmist says, you cannot help but know that it didn't just happen. Psalms 139 and verse 14. It says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that you, my soul knows, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. It says, my eyes saw, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written. The days are fashioned for me, as yet, when as yet there were none of them. You know, God knows how we are made. God created us, and He has laid out how our lives should go. It says in verse 17 something that I want to emphasize today. It says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. We need to have this attitude. We need to look for God's thoughts. We need to listen to God's thoughts. And we need to hold them in the same reverence, the same love that the psalmist has here. You know, the word of God, the speaking of God prompted, you know, those in this world to recognize that He is God. This through His creation. You know, Einstein was a genius, as many recognize, and he was a very, ahead of his time. And he believed in an intelligence that created life, that brought about creation. He believed there was a God. You know, the structure of the universe, the design of the universe prompted a prominent atheist to change his mind and become a deist or someone who believes in God. And that was Anthony Flew. You know, if we will just look and listen, we can be convinced and we can realize that God exists and is speaking to us. How does God speak today? Not only does He speak through creation, He also speaks through that book, the Word of God, the Bible, the one that so many discredit, so many treat as old and outdated. But if we will listen, we'll realize that is not so. Turn with me to Romans 10. Romans 10th chapter, verse 17. You know, this book, This word is designed to produce faith in God. It's designed to produce trust and conviction. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. You know, it's out there. The Bible is pretty much worldwide. You know, and if you will just listen, it is doing its job very well. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. It proves itself. It has prophecy in it that is fulfilled throughout, and it is not left hanging. There is no loose ends in the Bible. Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Isaiah 42. In verse 8, if I can get my fingers to cooperate this morning. Isaiah 42 in verse 8, it says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. You know, God has told many things in the Bible that have indeed come to pass. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 44th chapter, beginning in verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show these to them. You know, God has already done this. He's saying if there's anybody else that can prophesy such as he has in this book, you know, let them do it. So I turn with me to Isaiah, the 45th chapter, and verse 18 beginning. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness and declare right things. You know, God has, you know, made a promise to Jacob, and as if you will read this book, he has fulfilled that promise. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 46th chapter again. God brings this to our attention. Isaiah, the 46th chapter, and verse 9 beginning says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You know, God is not going to be put to shame. When he speaks, it will happen. An eyewitness testimony offers evidence in the Bible that to believe that the Son of God is real, that Jesus is real. Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts chapter 10, verse 39, beginning, it says, and we are witnesses. This is Peter speaking to Cornelius and his household. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. You know, Peter here bears witness that Jesus is who he says he is, that Jesus is Lord. Turn with me to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter, beginning in verse 1. First John, the first chapter, verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life that was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. You know, John here bears witness that Jesus is who he says he is. He has seen, he has touched, you know, and he declares it to us. 2 Peter, turn with me to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 15 beginning. Second Peter, in chapter 1, it says, verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, Peter here explains that these men are not just speaking of their own accord, that they truly are speaking from God, and they have witnessed His presence. And through His providence, God's Word has spread to every nation and translated into virtually every language, as we've seen in Romans the 10th chapter and verse 18. It has gone out. You know, and the manuscriptic evidence, you know, of the Bible today, as they dig things up, as they search old ruins, they have found more manuscripts of the Bible than they have that for any other ancient document, such as, you know, any other, like, say, the philosophers, Socrates, Plato, Homer. There's many, many more documents for the Bible to prove its existence. Through His Word, God says of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son. Hear Him." Do we listen? Do we read the Word of God? Do we, as David did, read it and praise it highly? Turn with me to Psalms, the 19th chapter. Psalms, the 19th chapter, beginning in verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, or is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." You know, the psalmist here, David, explains exactly what the Word of the Lord can do for us. He also extols its praises again in Psalms 119, beginning in verse 97. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. For I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, David says here that God's word is what guides him through life. And it is what should guide us through our lives. You know, God not only speaks, you know, through His Word, but also when He sent Jesus to this world, He spoke loudly. Hebrews, the first chapter. Turn with me to Hebrews, the first chapter, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 1, it says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become much better than the angels, He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." You know, Jesus has been manifested to us, has been sent to us, and He has shown us His glory, shown us His what He has done for us. He has died on the cross for us, that we might be saved, that our sins might be purged. Turn with me also to 1 John, or not 1 John, but John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter, beginning in verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." You know, Jesus has delivered to us a great gift. He has delivered to us grace and truth, forgiveness of sins, and a method in which to live, to be drawn closer to God. You know, the teaching, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus has changed history. You know, countless lives, entire nations have been affected by this coming of Jesus, by the sending that God sent of His Son. Through His Son, God says, "This is who I am. This is what I want from you." Do we listen? Do we listen to what Jesus reveals about God? Turn with me to John, the 14th chapter. John 14 and verse 6, beginning. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You know, are we coming through Jesus? Are we seeking Him out that we might find the Father? Jesus also gives out warnings concerning the end of days. Turn with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." And also down in verse 21 he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now we have to listen. We have to do the will of the Father that Jesus is proclaiming to us. And as Jesus said so often, "He who has ears, let him hear," is in Mark, the 4th chapter, in verse 9. You know, if we will but listen to Jesus, He will say to us, you know, "Well done." You know, He will welcome us in at the last day, at the judgment day. You know, God not only sent Jesus into the world, but He sent His disciples. He speaks loudly through His people, through His followers. Turn with me to Matthew 28th chapter in verse 19. Beginning in verse 18, instead. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" You know, the disciples were given a great commission. They were told to go out into all the world. And also again in Mark the 16th chapter, in verse 15 beginning, it says, "And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" this message that they are bringing is salvation to all if they will just listen and believe. Their duty as the people of God was to proclaim His praises, as is ours today. Turn with me to 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning in verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We are supposed to be declaring this message, this word of life. We are supposed to be speaking for God, helping Him to show those people that are hypocrites, that cannot find God, that He is there and He is still working in us today. Turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That is our job. We are to be proving that. We are to bringing that to those around us, that perfect will of God. Their love and unity, the love and unity of the followers of God, are to speak powerful messages to the world. Through our love for one another, we are to show that we are His disciples, that we are Christ's disciples. Turn with me to John 13th chapter. John 13, beginning in verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." This is supposed to be the mark of Jesus' disciples. Through unity that God loves us and sent His Son for us, we are supposed to show the world God's message. Turn with me to John the 17th chapter. John 17, beginning in verse 20. It says, "And I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me." That through the unity that we have, if we will follow this word, this will of God, we are to show the world that God is here, that He is working with us, that Jesus is who He says He is. Turn with me also to Romans, the 10th chapter, in verse 18 again. This message is going out into the world. It's going out into everywhere, all parts of the world, back then and also today. Romans, the 10th chapter, in verse 18, if I can get there. Romans 10, 18 says, But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the world, to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. God originally had planned to keep the Jews as His people, as his chosen. But the Jews didn't listen. And we see what happened. They lost their chance. They lost their position as being the children of God. Now God has stretched out His hand to all people. But we have to listen. You know, it has gone out to the entire world, as Paul says in Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 23, it says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, and which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." You know, Paul here affirms that this word has been everywhere. It has been preached to every creature. Do we listen to what the Bible is saying to us about the transformation in the lives of the disciples? How they should be changing and how they should act? Turn with me to 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 12. It says, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." You know, we also need to change our lives, just as the apostles changed from being simple fishermen, tax collectors, various other things. The world noticed when they changed. When they sought and followed after Jesus, the world noticed and recognized this. Are we willing to listen to the good news and share it with others? Turn with me to Acts, the 17th chapter. Acts, the 17th chapter, verse 11, says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." And it says, but when... Oh, well, I'm reading too much there. "But these people searched out those things that were so. These people listened, and they were willing to share. It wasn't just them. They shared it to those around them." My contention, my point today is that God has spoken loudly. If we will but listen. He's spoken through His creation. He's spoken through His Word. He has spoken through His Son. He speaks today through His people. Now, these voices of God are speaking loud and clear if those that are out there would just listen. But unfortunately, as we read this morning in our scripture reading, many have shut their eyes. Many have closed their ears. Many have hardened their hearts. And many refuse to hear the voice of God. And as the psalmist wrote, "It is a fool that says there is no God." Turn with me to Psalms, the 14th chapter and verse 1. Psalms, the 14th chapter and verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. And they have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one." You know, is God going to look down in the last day and be disappointed? Is God going to, you know, not find anyone who is listening? If it is up to us, let us make that not be the case. Let us listen. The prophet Isaiah calls out to all mankind, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." It's Isaiah 55:6-7. Are we willing to seek God? Are we willing to listen? If we will but turn from our wandering around with our fingers in our ears and listen to God and what He has to say, He will pardon us and He will guide us into what He requires from us. That is the lesson that I wanted to present this morning. If there is anyone here who would like to repent of a sin, would like to begin listening again, or if there is anyone here who would like to become a new child of God, or who would like to be baptized this morning, if either is the case, if you would come forward while we stand and sing, we will do our best to assist you.